This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Paper, a program for writers and, oh, everybody who is dreaming of writing. And I have been getting so many emails from people saying they have been dreaming. Well, now is the time to start. And I tell you, I have a really exciting program today. At the bottom of the hour, I'm going to be talking to Eva Chen about her wonderful and beautiful book called I Am Golden, and she is certainly golden. She is an amazing author. She is a New York Times bestselling author, and boy, oh boy, this is going to be fun to talk to her about this wonderful book. Before I turn to my first guest, though, I want to play a little something for my sister, Natalie. It is her birthday, and we are playing this song because Natalie... Happy birthday to you! Okay, well, that was for you, Natalie. I am so happy that you are home. And boy, oh boy, everybody in the area, all local authors know that Natalie is called the connoisseur of cozy mysteries because she reads thousands of them. And she is she's my right hand because she reads so many of them. And she will tell me when we have a winner. And the first one that she identified for me, she said, this is a winner. And it was Carol J. Perry. And that was for her very first Witch City mystery. And I am so happy that Carol J. Perry is going to be on the program in April because she is now up to book 12 in 7 years. Can you imagine that? Because it's going to be the 7th anniversary of Joy on Paper, and we are celebrating in March, and boy, I am so happy that Carol is going to be joining me, and my sister was right. Carol J. Perry is a winner. And now I get to turn to somebody, you know, I always love to hear from people who listen to the program and who have ideas for guests, and so I was really thrilled when I got this book. It's called I Don't Want to Turn 3. And it's by Grandpa Jeffrey. And I love that. So I am so happy to welcome Grandpa Jeffrey to Joy on Paper. Hi.
Thanks for inviting me. Just call me Gramps.
That's okay. We'll call you Gramps. Hey, Gramps, tell us, what inspired you to write this book, and how many grandchildren do you have?
Well, you know, living this past year because of the pandemic caused by COVID-19, in isolation, except for being able to be with my family, you know, gave me some special time to watch and interact with these grandkids. I got to tell you, what a trip. You know, I've got 6 grandkids, and they all have completely different personalities. But the one thing that they do have in common is a sense of curiosity. And that's basically what this book's all based on.
Well, I know that when you sent a letter to Devon Miller, who, of course, does our book buzzes. And it was such a lovely letter. And Devon was so taken with your book that he said, oh, boy, I'm going to do a special book buzz just for Grabs. So just listen here, and we're going to be playing this book buzz for you. And it's just wonderful always when Devon Miller comes out with these wonderful book buzzes to promote children's authors, because to start a child reading at a young age is the very best foundation for the future. So we're going to play Devon Miller's Book Buzz, and then we'll come back and you can tell me what you think about it.
Hey everyone, it's Devon Miller, author and illustrator of the Mr. Tickety Tock Clock children's book series, reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest on children's book buzz. February is here, and that means love is in the air. And something that I love to do, no matter what time of year it is read. And I love getting to read the book I Don't Want to Turn 3, written by Gramps Jeffrey. Gramps Jeffrey was inspired to write the book after being in COVID-19 isolation with his family, which gave him time to interact with his grandkids. Watching his grandkids grow when interacting with each other became the basis for the book. I Don't Want to Turn 3 tells the story of Jordan, who's about to turn 3 the next day. That means that he can't get away with the stuff that he's used to. I Don't Want to Turn 3 explores the interaction between family that's occurring in most households worldwide. I Don't Want to Turn 3 went on to win a Firebird Book Award and the Mom's Choice Award. As Jordan learns to be a little more kind in the story, let's all show a little kindness to our friends and family wherever we go. This is Devon Miller reporting for Joy on Paper. For more book buzz involving children's books and authors, head on over to radio-joyonpaper.com and click on Devon Miller's Book Buzzes. I think it's about time that I buzz out now.
Okay, Gramps, what do you think about that?
Hey, that was interesting. You know, it brings up the subject of at what age do you begin to take responsibility for your actions? Is it 3 years old like Jordan? Is it 13? Is it 23? Or is it 63? I've got plenty of my contemporaries that still don't take responsibility for their actions.
And that's true. It's true. I was just, when you mentioned that, a couple of names came to my mind. Well, so tell us the premise of the story and how you wrote it.
Well, the idea of the story is really, when do we learn the difference between me and us? And I wrote this as I was observing these six grandchildren in their interaction and how they shared things, how they didn't share things. But more importantly, it was how the parents got involved. This is based on a true story. I mean, I had these six kids for about 6 weeks during the COVID, and I had a chance to really observe what they were doing, how they were reacting, and then how their parents reacted to it. So that's what this is all about. And in the end, I'm going to give away the end, but in the end, they all decide to give all of their toys to the homeless kids downtown. So, and that came up right in the middle of the book, too, with one of the kids suggesting that. So that's why I feel so good about this book.
Well, it's a book that teaches kids the responsibility of their actions. And I think this is, in this time when we are all going through so much and there's so much fear for the children, it is wonderful that a book like this comes out and encourages them and gives them hope. So when you were writing it, did you share it with the kids as you were writing it?
Oh, yes. I had a chance to share it. But more importantly is to watch them after I wrote it. A couple weeks ago, they were at our house for an overnight. I had four of them over here. And the oldest, Olivia, grabbed the book. And for some reason, she ran underneath my desk and she grabbed her three little cousins. And they were reading the book. And I was just standing around the corner. They didn't see that I was doing it. And it was just fascinating to listen to how involved they were. Jackson said, "That's me with my dinosaurs." And Levi says, "Yeah, that's me in the bathtub." And so, they could really relate. So that was part of the preciousness of the book, is that I can see that they're reacting to it and they feel like they're part of it.
Well, you were very fortunate that you were able to be with your grandkids. It was so sad. I was seeing so many photos and, videos on television where grandparents would be standing outside and waving to the kids through the window. So I was really happy that you had time and that you were able to be with them.
Well, that really talks about what is the role of grandparents in today's raising of this greatest generation that has ever come along. And that's really my mission, is I want to get grandparents more involved in raising these kids. Because, as we grow older, we get more experience, we get wiser, we understand things, and we need to be able to take what we know with how this greatest generation is being raised today with all their electronics and pull it together. So we have to have grandparents more involved in the raising of their kids.
Oh, I agree. I think it's a wonderful, you know, I was very lucky. I had wonderful grandparents, really, really delightful people. And I look back with so much fondness at all of them, particularly my grandmother, who had a goat. and she was a character. And to just to have these memories of her and of all of the things that she did for us, it's really kept me going through these years. Every time I have a problem, I think back to this woman who worked so hard. Her life was not easy, and yet she was always cheerful, which, by the way, is, when I think about it too, my mother's life was very difficult, and she was always cheerful. And so grandparents can give so much and do so much to inspire their grandkids for the rest of their lives.
Well, you know, it's so much different today than it was when I was growing up. When I was growing up, my uncle lived up the street, my grandmother lived a couple blocks away, and so we were very, very tight, very, very close. But in today's world, you know, taking me as an example, you know, I've got two kids, grandkids that live in Austin, Texas, two live in Orlando, Florida, and I have two with me here in Arizona. So I'm spread all over the place. So it's very important for grandparents to kind of figure out, how can you become relevant in today's kids' world? You know, I'll give you an example of what we did, and I'm sure that your listeners have other stories of things that they did. But, you know, for some reason, these little kids, 3, 4, 5, 2 years old, they all love dinosaurs. I can't tell you why, but they can all name all the dinosaurs. They can tell you whether they eat meat. You know, as far as I'm concerned, dinosaurs are small, medium, and large. But, I mean, they know all the details. So knowing that that was something that brought them all together. When they left and went home to Texas and Orlando, you know, we decided, how can we stay involved with our kids' lives? So what we did is we have 6 little dinosaurs here in the house, and the kids were familiar with our house. So we started every night putting the dinosaurs in different places in the house so that we'd become part of their routine. You know, they would take their bath, they would read their book, and then we'd have our dinosaurs scattered. For instance, in the refrigerator, we had the dinosaurs eating blueberries. By the sink with Grandma, they were washing the dishes, and they had soap on their nose. You know, they were playing the piano another night. Another night, they were walking up the steps. So we came up with 50 different nights of things where dinosaurs were doing something different. So all of a sudden, what happened was our grandkids started calling us. Because, you know, in today's world, grandkids don't call you. You have to call them. But they started calling us because we became part of their routine. And they would say, you know, they'd call on my wife's iPhone and because of the FaceTime. And then they would say, where's Gramps? Where's Gramps? We need to find out where the dinosaurs are tonight. And so this was a way for us to bond with our kids. I'm sure your listeners can come up with other kinds of reasons. But grandparents today, we've got to make that effort. Because, you know, in today's COVID world, we don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. You've got to take advantage of every single day.
Well, that is so clever. I think that's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. What an idea.
You know, it was a lot of fun. Because, you know, when you think about it, you've got to figure out ways that you can bond with your kids. And when you first started talking, you were talking about reading to children. I mean, that is what we have got to make an effort every night and every day to read to children. I mean, one of the reasons we have to read to children is because it's time. It's great bonding time. It's a way that you can spend one-on-one time with your kids. You can spend time together. And so it helps your children feel loved and secured. So we've got to stick that time to reading to them. We have to support, you know, reading to our kids supports listening skills. You know, it requires them to listen. And you and I, especially with you in the radio business, you know that listening skills is the number one skill that we can, over time, develop. It's so important. If we can teach them by reading with them, to listen, you know, we're making an influence on them. You know, we need to read to them because of the cognitive and language development that they get. You know, the reading books helps them expand the variety and number of words they learn. You know, they can point to a learn. You can teach them a word as they're reading a book. And then, obviously, attention span. You know, kids at that age, they bounce all over the place. So if you get them to sit down with you for 15, 20 minutes, you know, all of this goes into, you know, the attention span. And that's why we, as parents and grandparents, have got to make that effort to read books to kids.
You know, nowadays, of course, people tend to put kids in front of the television and they'll, you know, do read the books that are read on television or the stories that are told on television. And so many young people, this sort of 20, 30 generation, perhaps didn't have parents who were reading to them. But if they discover this fun of reading, of taking on the different voices, of just playing the parts and letting the kids get involved, and the whole thing of maybe building a tent in your house and crawling into it, and everybody's reading and sharing. And I know one of the things we did when I was had my kids, of course, I homeschool, so we did a lot of reading together, and it was so much fun to really just pass the book around, and everybody would read a little bit. And sometimes for the younger kids, we would, you know, pass the book where there was one simple line of dialogue, and then pass it around. And children remember that, and it really makes them so thrilled with that idea of reading. I know for me, when I was young, it was taking the flashlight and going under the blanket and reading what I wasn't supposed to be, although I think my parents knew I was.
You know, if we just pull this together and think as adults, both grandparents and parents, that it is necessary to teach children how to think, not what to think, but how to think. And reading does that. Yeah, if you're I recommend for, you know, everybody's got books. Obviously, we want them to buy my book, but there's 100 other great books out there that are good for kids to read. So let the child pick out the book to read. Okay, so that way they've got an involvement in it. And then before you even start reading to the children, you know, ask them, what do you think is going to happen in this book? Again, we're trying to teach them how to think. What do you think is going to happen in this book? And then as you're reading them, you know, who are the characters in this book? What is the setting of the book? Let them think about how this whole story is evolving. And then ask them, you know, does anything in this book sound familiar to you? Have you done this? Have your friends done this? Have you seen this? You know, ask them that. Then obviously, after it's all over, you know, much like we do when we talk to our kids at dinner time, we ask them, what did you do today? You want to ask them after you read the book, you know, what was the favorite part of the book? Why was that your favorite part of the book? Again, framing it that we need to teach children how to think.
And I think that your book is, you know, when an author suddenly, you know, starts, they get the idea for a book, and I have a feeling that this book that took you over, it really, you know, became so important in your life and changes your life when you have, you know, this outlet and find this joy on paper that I'm always talking about. And so many times people will say, well, maybe I didn't do well in school. I'm not sure I can write. Now, of course, you're a professional writer, but everybody has a story in them. And to share it with your children, and like you said, they're so excited to see themselves in the story.
Well, earlier you brought up the idea of, you know, how do we develop kind of the habit of book reading in kids? How do we get them to do this? You know, and the first thing you do is you've got to be the role model. You know, if you spend a lot of time on your screens and on your phone, your child's going to spend a lot of time on their screens and on their phone. So you, as the adult, whether you're the parent or the grandparent, have got to be the role model and teach them that reading is fun. You know, at nighttime, you want to fix a bedtime reading routine. So like my grandkids, they take their bath, then they go to read. You know, that's what we have got to do as adults. You know, we need to find a special place in the house. part of their room, space, or a library where we can keep all the books so that they know that they can be. The books have to be colorful. They got to be attractive because, for the younger kids, you want them to kind of get excited about the books. And then you've got to understand, your child's natural tendency. You were touching on that earlier. Do they like to read by themselves? Do they like reading groups? Do they like to have the books read to them? You want to do all that. And then, obviously, we want to limit the screen time that they do have during the day. I do feel that this is the greatest generation that has ever been born in this country because they're learning at an early age through the Internet, through the iPhones, through their tablets, all kinds of information. And we as adults, because we've gotten older and wiser, need to combine what they're learning that way with how we can learn and teach them traditional way through our actions and obviously through books.
Well, I think you've done a beautiful job with this book. It's called I Don't Want to Turn 3. a great title. It's by Gramps Jeffrey. And I know that it's available, online. And hopefully there are bookstores that are opening up again. And people, it's wonderful when kids go to you take a kid to a bookstore and let them buy a book. It becomes a real treasure for them. So is there a website that you want people to go to?
Oh, they can buy the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or they can go to my website, grampsjeffrey.com, and about 100 other places on the Internet to find the book.
And you have other books?
I have a book that I wrote when I was in the business world. Called The Secrets of Retailing, How to Be Walmart. And it's a step-by-step guide of how to open a business and how to run your business.
But I have a feeling there, with all these grandchildren, there are going to be some more kids' books in your life.
Yes, we're working on, I don't want to turn 4. In fact, my granddaughter Olivia, who turned 9 last month, said to me, I got an idea for a book, I don't want to turn 10. Why don't you want to turn 10? She says, I've been thinking about it. I've been worried. She says, I'm going to have to get my driver's license pretty soon. I said, that's 7 years away. Why are you worrying about it now? And she says, then I got to worry about picking out a college. I don't know where to go. I said, that's another 9 years away. Why are you worrying about it now? But so she's already thinking about the book of I Don't Want to Turn 10.
Well, it's wonderful that you have your material and research material right at hand.
That's right. You're right.
Well, I think it's a lovely book. I'm so happy that you were on the program today. You're a great advocate for reading, and that's what we need. And perhaps, what I'd like to do, because I love your voice, and I think that you have that really the joy of writing in you. Perhaps you do a PSA for us. I can arrange a time you can just do a little promo for us, because this is what I like to do. Devon does all these promos for children's books, and we need perhaps just a general promo about the fun of reading.
Be my pleasure. Just let me know.
Okay, I will. And again, Gramps Jeffrey, I think you're fantastic. And I am so happy that you were able to come on Joy on Paper today. And people, get the book, I Don't Want to Turn 3. This can keep going and going. You, with all these kids, you're going to be just making so many of these I Don't Want to books. And it's a fantastic, fantastic idea.
Thanks for having me, Patsy.
Okay, it's been a joy to talk to you. Say hello to all your grandkids. Maybe one day they could join. Hey, I just got an idea. How about if some of them would like to come on the program and talk about you and about how Gramps is turning them into major characters? Okay?
Well, yeah, we'll talk about that. Thanks.
Okay, great. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to go to commercial, and then when I come back, we're going to be talking to a remarkable, remarkable woman about one of the most beautiful books I've ever seen. And it's going to be just after the commercials, okay?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. And I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Eva Chen. Her book, I Am Golden. I'm holding it in my hand, and I'm holding it up. We're on YouTube, too, so people can see it. What a beautiful and lovely book. And I am so happy to welcome Eva to the program. Hi, Eva.
Hi, how are you? We also have Sophie Diao.
That's what I was going to say. I wasn't sure if Sophie would be joining us because I wasn't absolutely sure. But I am so happy, Sophie, because I have been spending, you know, I have had this book for a while, and it's been right there on my sofa. I have a sort of a reading place, and there on the end of the sofa, I've been keeping this book. Because it is so beautiful. The cover is gorgeous. And Sophie, your illustrations, each and every one is really spectacular. But I have to say that of all the illustrations, when I was going through the book, I just, the one that I stopped at, I thought it was so, just something that you just want to look at. And this is the one of the grandparents and the boat and the on the computer. It is a lovely, lovely illustration.
Thank you so much, Patsy. I'm so glad you mentioned that one because I think you're the first person who's really pointed that one out. But it's a super special one to me because of it's just really true to our own experience talking to our grandparents from far away across the oceans.
I know. I thought it was so clever. You know, all the illustrations are great, but that one, and I've actually kept that page open because I have to explain to people that it's wonderful. There is a boat and an airplane, and so you can see on one side of the paper, on the page, you have the grandparents looking at a computer, you know, and on the other side, you have the happy family. You know, in contact from a distance so far away on the other side of the world, and the joy on their faces is so beautiful. I get a kick in this, particularly the grandmother. You did a beautiful job. I love this photo.
Yeah, and I think that that illustration, you know, is an experience that we've all had over the last 2 years, right? Like Zooming with loved ones on the other side of the world, unable to get together for family gatherings, and so kind of the ability to bridge kind of like oceans and kind of countries and kind of find joy in each other despite distance is something that Sophie brought to life so beautifully.
Well, it, you know, this really should be a poster because it tells a story. This one illustration tells a complete story of love and family and connections. I mean, I would buy a poster. If you did this as a poster, I would buy that and hang that up because I would just love to look at it every day.
Let's make that happen,
yeah,
Sophie.
Let's do it.
Well, really, this is what you really should do, a poster. I'm sure you can sell it on your website because it captures a moment of pure joy, which is what this whole book is about. The idea that, you know, you have found, Eva, you have found joy in telling this story about the Asian American, Chinese American, the world. That's just to open it up for readers to understand the importance, really, of the Chinese American experience here in the United States, because everything we look at, there is this element of what the Chinese Americans have done in this country.
Yeah, I mean, there's absolutely a history that, you know, I honestly is still struggling to be told, and I know that that's a conversation that a lot of educators are having. I think for a lot of cultures, you know, representation in history books is really important, and the Asian American contributions to this country are not to be lightly discounted. There's so much that they have done for this country, but also there are a lot of things that aren't talked about, such as like Japanese internment camps, for instance. So, I mean, this book really is meant to be a conversation starter, whether or not you are Asian American, to help understand the experience a little bit more. And I think there are certain experiences that all kids identify with, right? So whether you are Asian or not, you probably have had an experience with a bully or feeling different or feeling like alone or feeling kind of like you don't fit in. And so this book is a book that everyone can read and kind of find something about. It could be, as you mentioned, the experience of being separated from family or loved ones. It could be there's a spread about, you know, being bullied, as I mentioned. There is a spread about how there's so many stories within one culture. You know, it's you can't just stereotype one culture. There are artists, there are athletes, there are dancers, there are architects. And so kind of sharing this experience and kind of, again, using it as a window or a mirror into the Asian experience was so important to both of us.
Well, I think it is necessary. It is something that people, young people, should be aware of, and older people should understand both all the gifts that Chinese American, Asian Americans have given to the United States, but also the whole thing of we are all from different places. People are, you know, we have all of this background in us. Now, I know my experience wasn't in so many ways because I'm Finnish American.
Wow.
But I was bullied when I was raised in a farm environment in northern Michigan. But when we moved to the big city, because I talked funny, because I talked like this because I was a little bit, you know, from the... Well, I was bullied, and the third day I was there, someone tried to put my head in the toilet. So, you know, people have to learn. You can be different. You can be from any background, and everybody should just be nice to each other. It would be really great if people would get this idea, and I think with your book, Eva, you've done this. You've really captured the importance of understanding one another.
Yeah, I mean, like, Patsy, you probably remember that time, like, well, you know, when you were bullied and you said on your third day someone put your head in a toilet, which is just awful. But that day probably kind of, like, is so vivid in your memory still. And I know for me, the first time I was bullied and kind of made to feel different, I was about 8 years old, and I still remember like what I was wearing, where I was standing, the look on the kid's face. And it's something that really sticks with you. And so I think that any book or any experience that can help bring empathy to children, so as you said, people are nicer to each other, more patient with each other, kinder to each other, is so important. I grew up, speaking only Chinese at home, and then when I would go into school, you know, I would speak only English and kind of switching between the two. And, you know, it's a tough experience, and children are so resilient, and, you know, but still, the experiences you have growing up can shape you and form you, absolutely.
Oh, they do. And I think knowing that, you know, other people have gone through this type of thing helps. When somebody reads this and they say, well, somebody went through this, but they've accomplished so much with their lives. They haven't let the bullying or the bad things that people have done to them change their nature. And somebody like you, I mean, you are so amazing. We'll talk in a little while about your background in business. But to talk about this book, and particularly I want to again say, the illustrations, also the dragon illustration, I love it. I love what you say there. You are made of dragons, of phoenixes, of jade rabbits, and of monkey kings. You know, just to celebrate the background of your culture is wonderful.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you mentioned you were from Finland earlier, and there are probably local myths and legends and lore as well. And so when Sophie was illustrating that so, so beautifully, you know, we were thinking about all the different Chinese myths that exist as well. You know, these stories exist for a reason. They're a connection from, you know, generation to generation, told year over year. Today is actually Lunar New Year or Chinese New Year, and there are certain, like, kind of traditions that are passed on. And as a parent now myself to three kids, I'm always thinking about, like, how can I teach my kids? How can I have them have traditions that they one day, oh, my gosh, I'm going to cry, like, pass on to their children? So thank you for noticing that spread. And Sophie, thank you for rendering that so beautifully.
Well, how did you work? You wrote the book, and then, you know, Eva, did you know Sophie before she did the illustrations?
No, I actually met Sophie through Instagram. There was a terrible shooting in Atlanta last year, that was targeting Asian Americans. Sophie created something, an illustration that kind of went viral. And I started following her then. I was engaging with all of her Instagram posts. And I guess the rest is history. Sophie, what do you think?
It was an amazing, I guess, whirlwind experience, just because of the, like, whiplash of the events in the news, and then, you know, me feeling like I had a lot of anxiety and stress and worry about the things that had happened. And then I basically spent an hour one morning right after the shooting just drawing a little bit and getting it out there. And I posted it just to share a little bit of how I was feeling, and it made its way to Eva, and I think it was amazing that she was having the same kind of, like, reaction. Of course, like, it was a very universally reviled thing that happened, and the fact that we both decided to make art and express ourselves in response to it, her by writing the book, and then me by drawing this comic, and then leading to me illustrating this book, it was a very, like, serendipitous interaction.
Well, Eva, when you wrote these lines, I'm going to read them. You are the lotus flower unfurling, triumphant and bright in the darkest water. You are the first bamboo stalk piercing the soil that will overtake the sky. Now, when you wrote that, did you ever expect that somebody like Sophie would come along and draw this, illustrate this so beautifully? The lotus flower opening up, the lotus flower floating. Again, this spread is another one that I would love a poster of. It is absolutely fantastic.
We are manifesting all the posters, so thank you, Patsy. Yeah, I would say, like, it's been a joy and so wonderful to work with Sophie, just because there are so many spreads in the book where, you know, I wrote the words and I can close my eyes and picture how I pictured them. But once I saw them on a page or on the computer, the way she had kind of brought them to life, I was like, she made it even better. You know, she just has this beautiful poetic style. And it's been such a joy to work with her because it's been so effortless. You know, we agonized over every detail on the book. Like, when you look at the cover of the book, there's the main character, May, and she's holding her hands up to the sky and basking in the warmth and joy of who she is. Like, we were talking about the positioning of her hands. Like, well, what angle should her palms be at? How tilted up should her head be? And I'm grateful to have found someone like Sophie, who is such a wonderful collaborator and who brought just, like, you know, such a strong point of view and perspective, and just made everything glow and kind of pop from the page so gorgeously.
Well, Sophie, you know, I always talk about the people, the authors who come on my program, the golden threads that connect me, that so often I will read a book and perhaps I've been to that location, perhaps, you know, I've been in the restaurant that they mentioned. There are so many threads that connect me. And the two of you have a golden thread that connects you, because when you wrote that line about you are the lotus flower unfurling, and you know, when you drew this picture of her in the middle of a lotus flower, again, with her arms outstretched and these stars sparkling around her, it is so beautiful. As I said, I've had this book for a while, and it has been on my sofa next to me, and I just open it up and look at it, and I smile because it is absolutely gorgeous.
That's so amazing to hear, and I thank you so much for singing the praises of the book. It's really, like, you know, I think the drawing aspect of the book came so naturally, just because the words are so poetic and melodious, and it really felt like, you know, they were flowing out of Eva, and then I was hearing them, and then I was, like, drawing, and it was flowing out of me. It was very natural the whole time. And there's something very, like, wonderful about that experience of just feeling like you're channeling this artwork that's coming from somewhere greater than yourself.
Well, it is magic. I think the connection between you two, there's some kind of magical connection that has brought you together, because I can't imagine anybody illustrating it so perfectly, capturing your words, Eva, with all of the delightful pictures. And also all of the things that you're talking about here, about the accomplishments. I love how you write, we are artists, scientists, athletes. We are dancers, teachers, inventors. We are architects, actors, writers. And it is wonderful to celebrate your culture. And I love also the food one. As a matter of fact, to celebrate Chinese New Year, I'm having Chinese food today, by the way. I was already thinking about it this morning on my way to the studio. I said, oh boy, I know what I'm having.
Yep. We hope that spread inspires a lot of takeout orders, because it definitely made us hungry after we were working on it. And, you know, all the small restaurants, Chinese or otherwise, need our support right now post-COVID. Like, so supporting small restaurants, all businesses, is so important right now.
I was going to say that, because some people actually were, like, boycotting Chinese restaurants, which is so silly. And I love my Chinese restaurant. They make it so good. And I'm, you know, again, for Chinese restaurants to have these, when you do these as posters, I think it will be fantastic. You know, I guess I'm in the poster business now, because I see everything as posters.
Patsy, you need to start a poster business.
That's it. I should, because it is wonderful. And the wonderful thing also about the book is I love at the end where you talk and where you have your own photos and talk this note from your author.
Yes. So Sophie and I both have notes at the end of the book kind of talking about what the book means to us and how personal the book was for us. And then there are photos from my family, and I'm sure you feel this way as well, Patsy, but, like, you know, going through old photos, old family photos, seeing and learning the history of your family. For me, I never got to meet my grandmother and grandfather on my dad's side, and so hearing about him and, you know, being in the military, which he was, and kind of, like, the work that he did, and hearing about my grandmother on my dad's side was just such a, so personal and such a moment for me and my father. So, again, this book was, it's a labor of love. It's like, I call it a love letter to my parents and, you know, to all the family that came before my parents. And I know, Sophie, like you had mentioned previously, that this was a very personal family kind of journey for you as well, right?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to read this book, which is from the perspective of the parents to the child, because when I was growing up, I really felt like, you know, coming from the Chinese culture where you don't really, like, express a lot of verbal love. You mostly express your love through food or actions or, you know, acts of service. And then, you know, being inundated with American culture, where every time I turn on the TV, there's all these happy families saying, I love you, like, you're the best, I support you, my son, my daughter. And then just feeling like, oh, am I missing something? Like, is there something that I am not getting from my family that I see on TV that other people are getting? And so I think, like, coming from one culture and then experiencing another externally, you kind of grow up in between, right? So you're, like, you really appreciate your parents and you love the acts of service and the food, but then you also wonder, like, I don't know if, like, I know that they love me because they don't say it, but then you know that they do because, like, the culture is just that they express themselves through other things. And so this book, I think, is kind of like a great in-between where it bridges the gap where, like, through the lens of, like, a Chinese-American author, like Eva, she's able to write from the perspective of the parents and show in words and, like, verbal affirmation, like, all of the amazing emotions that come from parent and child relationships.
Well, I want to, you know, I want to thank both of you. I'm running out of time, but I want to thank both of you so much for being on Joy on Paper. Eva Chen and Sophie, how do we pronounce your last name? Dao?
Diao, like meow.
Meow. Oh, Diao. I like that. Sophie Diao. And it, as I said, it is so beautiful. The cover is beautiful. The story is beautiful. And it is important for everybody out there. We are all one big family. In the end, we're all humans. Let's act that way. Let's find the joy in each other. And people, you can get this book wherever books are sold. And do you have a website you want people to go to?
Oh, I think you can just go to our Instagram, Sophie Diao.
Yeah, a webpage. I'm sorry. I mean, you are Instagram. Like, I didn't get a chance to talk about this. You know, Eva, would you come back and talk about Instagram one day?
Yeah, I'd love that. That would be so much fun.
Oh, because I have so many writers who are just, well, they're embracing Instagram, and sometimes they're afraid of Instagram, and well, I need you back because I didn't even get to tell people that you are, like, you are it when it comes to Instagram. So I'm going to invite you back, okay?
I would love that. Thank you so much.
And again, we can talk more about I Am Golden. It is a beautiful, beautiful book. And I think that two of you are golden. You are real superstars and you're connected by a golden thread.
Thank you, Patsy. Thanks for having us.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Wonderful to talk to you. Wonderful.
Oh,
bye-bye now. It is a beautiful book. This is what... It's so funny. Today, I had two books that starts, I am. You know, sometimes this is... It's serendipitous. It means that people out there, you need to read these books and really... understand what it is, the joy that you can give to a child by writing a book. It's a gift of a lifetime. A child will remember, and I remember books that I read when I was little. So I'm just telling you, everybody, I'm going to put all this all on my website, which is radio-joyonpaper.com. But now we're going to play the release, the new release of Haley Woolbright's new song. You know, she is one of my favorites. Her song, Boxcar, is on my morning playlist. But here's her new song by Haley Woolbright.
My heart.